Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
When you turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed. Everyone say, saw the signs. I saw the sign. By healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him because he already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered and said, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. So estimated to be around about 20,000 people, including women and children. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come to the world." And Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And down to verse 27, and Jesus continues on. And he's now helping us to understand what was just witnessed and the story behind the story. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. For the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may believe it and see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And so they said, "Always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." If I was to ask you here this morning, what is the one thing you couldn't live without? Or maybe the top three things that you say that I could not live without these things. I wonder, of course, what your answer would be. I imagine as good little Christian people that you are going to say things like, "My Bible, prayer, family." And of course, they're great answers. In a recent survey, people were asked that very same question, more on the lines of what luxuries they had that they could not live without. So at the bottom of the list, things that people could give up easily, they had things like nice towels. Yeah, if I had to, I could give up nice towels. Okay, that sounds kind of random. Uber Eats was on the list. Yeah, I could do without Uber Eats. All the young people are going, "What? That's crazy." Bottled water. I could do without bottled water. I suppose I could just use tap water. Somewhere towards the middle, people say, "Yeah, I'm less reluctant, but I could probably give up, things like streaming services, Netflix, Spotify, the like, give up the gym, give up my microwave, beauty products." I can't believe that this is in the middle of the list. People thought that it was actually possible to give up coffee. That doesn't make sense to me. Top of the list, things that people said I could not live without: a nice mattress. That would not make my list, but I can see why. A nice mattress helps. A dryer, clothes dryer. Pets, people didn't want to give up their pets. That's cool, I understand. The very top, people said I could not live without my smartphone or the internet. Now, this is true. 70% of households all across the Western world say they cannot imagine a world, and certainly cannot live within a world without the internet. Young people were surveyed in the United Kingdom, and 10% said, I would rather give up food or shelter before I give up my internet access. That's crazy. Young people have an extra item on their list. If you're aged between 18 and 24, you're saying, in fact, 83% of you say, I could not live without my music. Music is life. When we read this encounter here in John chapter 6, which is what I said, the fourth sign, John wants us to ask a similar kind of question. He's asking, this story is designed to get in under our skin and say, where is it that you are really drawing life, meaning, and purpose? What is it you are turning to? What is it that you say that you cannot live without? Because chances are it might not be what you think it is. What is the thing that you keep turning to that makes you feel alive, to draw life, meaning, and energy from? What is it that we can't live without? This morning, when we were all familiar with this story, I want to look at the story behind the story. What's really going on that helps bring color and life to this great moment of Jesus multiplying the bread and fishes to feed the crowd? And here's where we want to start. It says this, Jesus went up onto the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. That seems like an unnecessary detail. But it's one of three times John is going to tell us that an event is happening. The first being when Jesus clears out the temple. The last being when Jesus gives up his life at Calvary. And this time here, he's wanting us to know that it's Passover because he wants us to make the connection to the original Passover story and what it meant. The time where Moses, or God through Moses, delivered the people of Israel from Egypt, led them through the wilderness into the promised land. When we read this story, we're supposed to make the connection. John wants us to see that what is happening here is the fulfillment of a promised second Exodus. One better than Moses is now here. A greater deliverer with a greater salvation, with greater bread that brings true life and true satisfaction. One promised to lead all of humanity out of captivity and into promise. That is what this story is all about. So this morning, if you are here and you feel bound and trapped by your circumstances, if addictions are keeping you locked in, and I've got good news for you. One greater than Moses is here. He was present in our worship. He is present now as we open and read his words. A greater deliverer. Now, Moses delivered millions, around about a million people, a whole nation from Egypt, but one greater than Moses. One greater than Moses is here this morning to deliver you. Whatever is bound, whatever is keeping you bound, whatever is keeping you in captivity, whatever is keeping you from peace and the flourishing life that Jesus has promised, a deliverer is here this morning to set you free. That's one important connection to make. Here's another, the meaning and the significance of bread. The word bread is mentioned around 360 times in both the New and the Old Testament, telling us that when the word bread is mentioned, there's something else going on that we're supposed to know and understand. Firstly, you know, meat. It was my 18-year-old's birthday last night, and we fed them with bucket loads of meat, boxes and boxes of Eljana chicken. And the meat was a luxury back in the day. In fact, it's almost that way now. Have you seen the price of lamb cutlets? That's like a luxury item. Back in the day, meat was luxury. Bread was the main part of the meal. And so bread came to symbolize everything that meant life. Bread symbolizes life. So that's one connection. The thing that we can't live without, that's what bread means. But for the Israelites, two very powerful images come to mind whenever the word bread is mentioned. One, manna. And we heard about that. Jesus references this. Again, the Exodus story, a reminder of God's faithfulness, that he's a covenant-keeping God, a reminder of his presence. The second was that the bread was used in the temple, in the tabernacle, in Moses' tabernacle, in David's tabernacle, and in Solomon's temple. Bread, 12 loaves of bread were put out, fresh bread every single day. You can imagine what the temple would have smelled like. You come into the temple and you would have been overwhelmed by the smell of fresh bread. Bread is a symbol of worship. It represents worship. It's a picture of prayer and devotion to God, feasting on His word. And so these are all the things that come to mind when we read a story like this. But here's an even more beautiful truth. When bread was placed in the temple, it represented reconciliation. Or another way of saying that would be friendship. You see, in those days, if there was someone you didn't like, an enemy, but you wanted to show the world and show them that, you know what, it's time for us to become friends, you would invite them over to your house, and what would you do? You would break bread together. It was how you would show others that you are now friends. It represents reconciliation, relationship. It represents oneness. Breaking bread with God meant that He wasn't just your king, but He is the friend of your heart. And again, this is such a powerful image. I want you to remember this. Here's Jesus holding bread in His hand in front of a multitude, 20,000 people, lost, broken, carrying all kinds of guilt and shame. Some of them would have been hiding, not wanting to be seen. Some of them would have been quite desperate, hoping that a word from this healer, a word from this rabbi, might just be the difference, the strength and the hope that they need to wake up tomorrow with promise and hope. Here's Jesus holding up bread, and what does He do? He breaks it. And as He breaks this bread, He says, humanity, I want to be your friend. Humanity, God in flesh, I stand before you. The sign you're about to see will leave you amazed, but the message behind the sign is that I have come to be your friend. I see your brokenness. I see your struggle. I see your hurt. I see your sickness. I see you hiding in your shame. I see the walls you have built to protect yourself. But today I break bread in front of you to declare that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, wants to be your friend. And everything I do from this day forward is designed intentionally. Every step, every act, every sign, every encounter, every word is leading to the cross, is leading to my death, so that every barrier that stands in the way of our friendship is no more. This morning, God is breaking bread with you. There is fresh bread from heaven here this morning. Jesus wants to be your friend. I have to hide. Isn't it funny? I don't know if it's just me that I remember as a kid and even as a teenager and maybe even as an adult, maybe even recently, you hear that a prophet's coming to church and you hear that this guy is proper accurate and all the hype and build up, this guy gets it right every time. And what do? You know, the week before he comes on Sunday, you are on your knees. Every sin you can think of, every sin that you haven't even committed, but maybe you've thought about committing it, and you're confessing for your sister and your brother and your mother because maybe somehow their sin is on you and this guy's gonna call it out. And this tells us none of this is God's heart. And Jesus stood before a multitude knowing every single detail. And what does He choose to do? Break bread. I want to be your friend. I'm safe. I'm not gonna expose you. I'm not gonna call you out and uncover all the hidden shame and sin in your life. I've come to heal you. I have come to be broken so that you could be made whole. Jesus breaking bread is God saying, I have become breakable. I have become vulnerable. I have put on flesh so that your brokenness might be made whole. Try to get your head around that. You know why Christianity, one of the main reasons why Christianity was rejected by the religions and the faith surrounding in the time? It's because no one could imagine a God that would make himself breakable. What kind of God would put himself on a cross to be crucified? What kind of power is that? And the world still doesn't understand that a life made breakable is the way unto healing, is the way unto wholeness. This is it, my friends. A life made breakable. God in flesh made breakable so that your brokenness might be made whole. That is good news. That is great news. Now here's one more thing before we move on, we have to understand. Jesus tells us, and if I can have the keyboard player up, that'll help me finish quicker. Jesus tells us there's two types of bread. There's bread that spoils, and there's bread that endures to eternal life. Now here we have to solve or answer this question. When I say eternal life, you think heaven. It's not what Jesus meant. I mean, it's part of it. When you think eternal life, you think life that goes on forever, but eternal life is more about a quality of life. It's a kind of life. It's God quality kind of life. And so when Jesus offers eternal life, he is offering us to receive, to be possessed by the divine, to be filled with the divine life. That's what eternal life means. There's two Greek words used for life. One is bios. It's where we get the word biology from. It simply means to exist. And then there's this word zoe or zoe. I was going to say zoe because it's much easier. And it's this word, it's eternal life. It's this God-infused, divine-infused life that God wants to give us. And every single one of us here this morning, we have bios. We exist. Just check the person next to you. Are they still breathing? Some of them are asleep. You have to yell louder. Every one of us has bios. We exist, and every single one of us are trying to go from bios to zoe, from existing to living. Who remembers the BCF fishing ads? And he's like, Barry. Barry's there with his kids and his family, and he sat them down in front of his 85-inch plasma, and he's prepared them for a night, an incredible night of fun and excitement to watch a rainforest documentary. And the guy, the voiceover on the ad said, "That ain't living, Barry." Another person next to him was like, "That ain't living, Barry. Do I have any Barrys here this morning?" "That ain't living, Barry." And then it goes to cuts to a scene, and this guy's on his boat and he's fishing and he's catching and he's living the life. That's what I think. We are all trying to find that thing that gives us life. We're all trying to move from bios to zoe, from existing to living. And the question you need to ask and the question you need to answer is, what are you grasping at to make that transition? Because Jesus says there's a bread that spoils. There's a bread you're reaching for, and it's not going to satisfy you the way you think it will. It'll taste good going down, no doubt. It's like KFC. It smells good, it tastes good, and it leaves you feeling terrible. I mean, what are you grasping at to move from bios to Zoe? Every single human that ever lived, ever will live, and is living right now. This is the process. This is the journey that we're on. We grasp at things like sex and drugs and alcohol, the next big deal, success, the new relationship, all the different things we grasp at because we think, and these are all good things. C.S. Lewis in his book, I'm not going to have time to reference it, he talks about these are all good things we grasp at. We can think of the best marriage, the best relationship, the best job, and they taste so good to start with and they bring so much satisfaction, but it's faint, it glimmers, it glistens, and then it fades away. All of this is telling us that we were made for something greater, something on this, that this earth cannot, and nothing on this earth. The best of marriages cannot satisfy the desire within our heart. The best of careers, the best success, the best of relationships and friendships cannot satisfy, because friends, we were made to eat a different kind of bread. A bread that doesn't spoil. Man, I wasted years. And I still do waste days and moments grasping at bread that spoils. If I go back to 17-year-old Aaron and say, Aaron, you're about to waste 2 years of your life grasping at bread that spoils. It's not in the house that you're running to, Aaron. It's the house that you're running from. The house of bread. The house of God. His presence. Are we doing okay? So what do? Well, John helps us out. John's gonna help us finish. Say, help us, John. You don't sound like you mean it. Come on, help us, John. Help us land the plane, John. Help us land the plane. Sometime after this, remember, we're going to read this again. Jesus crossed to the far shore. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he performed. And then Jesus went up the mountainside, sat down with his disciples. There's a distinction here, a distinction between two kinds of people. There's those following along with the crowd and those following along as disciples. The crowd was intrigued, entertained, captivated. The crowd was curious. All good things. We're all part of the crowd at some point in our life. There's no long-term life here, though. There's no flourishing. There are moments, there are glimpses, there's encounters, there's even miracles when you're part of the crowd. All of these are gifts and invitations designed to move us from crowd to disciple, from bios to Zoe, from existing to living. So question. I'm gonna ask, Aaron, why do you ask so many questions? You know, when we read scripture, our default is to come and read scripture. The proper posture of our heart is to allow scripture to read us. Scripture is given for it to read us. And so we ask questions to get beyond the familiar and beyond the words and into the life of what it is that God wants to say and do. So the question we need to ask is, are you part of the crowd or are you one of the disciples? You know, one of the defining part of being part of the crowd is that when you're part of the crowd, Jesus is safe. He's safe. I mean, Jesus is safe in a good way. But for disciples, there's a way that Jesus isn't safe, because he's going to challenge. He's going to put his finger on some things in a loving way. You don't have to give up much to be part of the crowd. Costs you very little. You can remain hidden. You can remain uncommitted on the sidelines. And this should challenge us in our Western Christianity. A lot of Western Christians, if they were honest, if they were able to examine their hearts, pause and stop, push away, push back the hurry and the hustle, they would come to realize maybe they are part of the crowd. If God is only 2 hours of your week, then you are following Jesus as part of the crowd. He is your hobby, not your Lord. Are you part of the crowd or are you a disciple? This phrase, many people saw the signs that Jesus was performing and believed. We've read that before. I'm going to close with this thought. We've read that before. If we're following along closely, if we're following John closely, we go, I've seen that phrase, and many believed because of the signs. I've read that. We go back to chapter 2 and we read this. While he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. The very same phrase that we just read in John chapter 6. But listen to this. Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. something was wrong with their heart. They were excited about Jesus' signs. They believed he was a genuine miracle worker. Maybe even they believed he was a prophet. Something was wrong in their heart. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone that Jesus can entrust himself to. I mean, I read that and I go, wait, that's a thing? I read those words and I go, hang on a second. Hold the phone. Pause. Let's slow down and think about this. Is that actually a thing? That Jesus can entrust himself with me? Is that actually a thing? Because that is mind-blowing. That is life-changing. That the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, one day every knee shall bow at the mention of his name. And here he is in Scripture saying, there is something within the heart of a man or the heart of a woman that I see that causes me to entrust myself to them. In the fullness of who I am. Elise read out some of the names of God, describing the character of God. Imagine all of that and more being entrusted to your life. Imagine that we were the kind of community. Jesus walks in the room and he sees soft, hungry hearts. And he goes, I can entrust myself with these people. I can entrust myself with this community. Is that really a thing? I mean, do we believe the words of Jesus here this morning, that that's what we are being invited into, that he would entrust us? You've heard me share before about the revival in the Hebrides, right? Yep, a few of you are nodding. Incredible story. If you haven't, you can go back and listen to when we've talked about it before, or go read some of the books or whatever. Again, John Tyson. Someone who I just look up to. I think God is doing incredible things through this guy. But he has, for the last 2 years, gone to the Hebrides to do a conference. And there are still people in the island of the Hebrides believing for another and praying for another outpouring and move of God. And he said one of the most profound things that he saw when he was over there the first time, he got to sit down with one of the experts of the revival and people that were actually there. And he said, you know what? You can drive through towns, small island towns, and you see the towns where God moved, and then the next town over, he didn't. He skipped entire towns. Because there were people there that weren't ready for him to entrust himself to. All the incredible stories, people encountering Jesus' lives, young people being drawn out of a nightclub, no one preaching and coming to repent on their knees in the church. That was the experience, but there were whole towns that missed it because Jesus said, I can't trust myself here. And this guy said, still to this day, the crime rate is higher, the brokenness and the youth suicide is higher, all the different things that talk about, it's still higher, still to this day. Because God was unable to move. Day spring, this morning was great. Still feel the residue of it on my heart. But oh my goodness. Maybe all that is an invitation to prepare our hearts and lives so that when Jesus comes in his fullness, when the time for him to move in our great city comes, there's a people I can entrust myself to. There's a people that have prepared their hearts. Why don't we stand to our feet? and close your eyes. I want to read this psalm over us as we close our service this morning. We invite our ministry team to come out the front. If you guys could prepare yourselves, that would be amazing. Psalm 81. Now, I can't prove this theologically. I tried to. In that there's no real obvious connection between Psalm 81 and the story that we read, except that it just kind of sounds like the same thing. It just kind of sounds like the prayer form of the story we've just read. Psalm 81 says this. I'm going to read it to you. It's not going to be up on the screen. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of captivity. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. You will be fed with the finest of wheat, finest of bread, and with honey from the rock, I will satisfy you. This morning, if you would open your mouth wide, God promises to fill it. The beginning of that psalm tells us what that looks like. Sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. An open mouth is a worshiping heart. An open mouth is a heart filled with gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. The one last question that we need to answer, one last question that you should be asking. Well, Jesus, if there's two kinds of bread, bread that spoils and bread that gives eternal life, bread that is bios and bread that is Zoe, how do I eat Zoe? We simply come to Him in relational trust, in faith. We put our faith in Jesus. And we allow our hearts to respond to all that He has already done. We open wide our mouth and let the joy and the expression of the gratitude of our heart come forth in song and prayer. What if prayer wasn't hard work? What if prayer wasn't a task? What if prayer was feasting on the bread of life? What if prayer was receiving the body broken so that you could be made whole? Now that's a place that I would love to visit and live in. Amen. Lord, make us a people of prayer. If it's such a thing to pray, give us hungry hearts. Hungry and humble hearts. May we be that boy that entrusts our lunch, the little that we have, into your hands, so that we might be a people who you can entrust your life with and place your life into our hearts. May we be such a community that can be entrusted with your presence, with your Spirit, to steward, carry, and release your love. May we be such a people that are prepared to pay the price from moving to the crowd, to the disciples on the mountainside. Yes, you will test us. Yes, you will challenge us. Yes, you will confront the idols in our heart. But to all of that, we say yes, because you have the words of life. Only you can satisfy. May our hearts and our heads know that. And the things that we're grasping for, may we see them for what they really are. Ash in our mouth. False promises and false ideas. Lord, we surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
thank you. Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.